today we're going to be ending the series we started a few weeks ago called it One Prayer. It's one prayer, and it's something that's going on around the worldwide. Around approximately 2,000 churches are involved in this one prayer movement from across denominational lines. And we signed up to be a part of this as we are saying, God, help us be one. Jesus prayed that prayer. He said, God, help the church, the body of Christ, to be one, that we can bring glory to the Father. So we've been praying the same prayer with thousands of other churches, hundreds of other churches around the world who are praying the same prayer every day. We've been going through our prayer focus, and we've all been sharing the same theme. And one of the things we've asked every church to do is we asked them to, during this month, to share the gospel with somebody. To share the gospel with somebody, to witness to somebody. Make it a purpose. I'm going to share the gospel with a friend, a coworker, a family member, somebody. And so to learn to share the gospel, we've also asked people to give. And one of the things we're going to be doing today is we're going to be help giving toward a church plant that we're helping start today. It's already started. Matter of fact, you guys know the missionaries very well in Brazil, Hilary and Aldaí. And we're going to be hearing from them before they leave town. But today, I want to take up a special offering for them before we get into the rest of this message. One of the things we committed to was helping start a church when we signed up for one prayer. And so what's going to be happening is the first part of August, we're going to be taking a group of about 15 people down to Manaus, Brazil. We're doing some work there in the local church plant there in Manaus. They've already started a church with just a few people, and it's already grown to about 75 people. Is that correct? About 75, 80 people have already begun to come. And they got a lot of things they need done. How many know when you start a church, you need a lot of things? And it's a lot of things. We know that. We are a new church as well. And there's a lot of things we're doing and needing to get done. And so this is an opportunity for us to be a part of the worldwide church, to get beyond our four walls and say, God, it's not just about what's happening here, but it's up to us to help spread the gospel around the world. That's what Christ told us, our responsibility to do. And so what we're going to be doing, when we go down there, we're going to be helping take care of the church as far as we're going to be helping put a new coat of paint on the outside. We're going to help them buy some new chairs. We want to help them get some things. They need children's ministry things. They need sound equipment. There's a lot of things they're needing today. And so every bit of this offering is going to go to help us when we get down there to help them purchase and get the things they need so we can help this church continue the momentum it's already got and continue to go forward. So I want you today, I've been asking you for the last couple of weeks, prepare your heart to give. And so today I'm going to ask you to do that. Can you just bow your heads where you're at? Father, today, Lord, we're going to give to you. We're going to give to you, Lord, this offering, Lord, that is going to bless this church. I pray today you would speak to our heart. What would you have us to give? Now, as you have spoken to our heart, now we would be quick to obey. And God, today we're going to give this offering and believe it's going to be a blessing to multiply there in Brazil. We believe great things are going to come in Manaus, Lord. Lord, you're already sending a revival. The gospel is being spread around Brazil. Lord, there's a revival happening, and this church is going to be a part of that, what God is going to be doing in that region. And God, we want to bless them today. Lord, may we be quick to give in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need an offering envelope, you can see one of the ushers, and they'll give those to you as they pass those out today. If you're giving a check, you won't need an envelope. But if you're giving cash and want credit for that, they'll be sure to have one of those that can give it to you. Make sure you ask them for that. But you can put on their missions. We'll be sure to get that very much today. We're so glad that you're here. Before we get started today, I did want to acknowledge that we have some special guests with us today. It's good to have some good friends of ours from the Atlanta, Georgia area. It's good to have some pastors. Now, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were gone. And you guys didn't miss us, I know, because we had such a great service while we were gone. You didn't even know we were gone, right? But we were in Atlanta, Georgia, in that area. We're there to spend the weekend with a church down there and just see what God's doing. 8 years ago, they planted a brand new church similar to ours, and this is their 8-year anniversary. It just come last Sunday. They just opened up a brand new 60,000 square foot facility to go along with the 15,000 square feet they had. And they are running close to 2,000 people. And it's been just an amazing God thing what's going on there. And it's good. I had a chance to spend that last weekend with them and just had a chance to pick his brain on some things and talk through some things about where God's taking us and get his advice and some spiritual wisdom there. And today their family attends here and they're here in town. And so they're attending church with us today. Can you welcome Pastor Dave and Cindy, where you're at today, from the Church of Chapel Hills in Atlanta, Georgia. Today we bless you guys. We love them, appreciate them very much, and their whole family. And we know we got some people here that really love them a lot more than we do, right? Mom and Dad are right there next to them, yeah. Well, today we're going to continue in this thought of one prayer. I'm going to be ending this series today. We've been praying all the way up until the 1st of July. I've been praying this prayer, and today I'm going to conclude this series. I tell you what, when you were asked with assignment to pray this prayer and to speak on this thought of God is, how many, that's a big statement. That's a big statement. God is. We could speak the rest of the year about what God is and still only just begin to touch the tip of the iceberg of what we can preach on this subject. God is. We've spoken about many things and God is. And today I want to talk about this thought. God is always ready. God is what? Always ready. What's your worst nightmare today? Can I ask you that question? What's your worst nightmare? Maybe it's, you ever had those nightmares? You know, as a kid, I had a recurring, I grew up in Tornado Alley down in Oklahoma. You know what I'm talking about? Where tornado sirens went off all the time. I was always running and hiding, thinking, you know, it's going to get us, tornado. So growing up all my life, I had a fear of tornadoes, and I would go to sleep, and I would wake up, and the sirens would be going off, and tornadoes would be on every side. Everywhere I ran to take cover, the tornadoes were there. Anybody ever had that dream when you were a kid? You know what I'm talking about? Yes, I had a fear of tornadoes from growing up here in this area. But as I got older, and I'm not really scared of tornadoes anymore because I realized, you know, I can watch the radar and I can take shelter. I'm not as scared. I don't have those dreams anymore. But I'll tell you, one of the dreams I do have, the nightmares, is I always have this dream, and it seems to happen periodically, is that I'm speaking at a big conference, either here on Sunday morning or maybe at a big conference, and I get up to speak, and I had nothing prepared to say. I mean, I am just not prepared to say. Anybody ever had that thought when you had to give a presentation at work and you know you got something coming up and you had that night, you woke up the night before thinking, man, I wasn't even prepared. And even though you're prepared, you just have that fear that you're going to have to say something and you don't know what to say because you're not prepared. Isn't that a nightmare? Some of you here today, your greatest nightmare, maybe you wake up and you're walking around the mall in your underwear. I don't know what it is, okay? That may be our greatest nightmare. I don't know. We won't go there. But anyway, whatever your nightmare is today, you know, that nightmare about getting up and not being ready, that's kind of the way it is in our life, that we have this fear of, I have this fear of not being ready, and it kind of gets us. How many are glad today to God? God is always ready. You know that? God is always ready. I'm glad God was always ready. But look at the stories. Can you imagine the way the stories would have ended in the Bible if God hadn't been ready? Think about the children of Israel in the Red Sea. I mean, Moses leads them there. They get to the Red Sea, you know, and he holds up the staff. And the waters are supposed to part, you know, and he holds up the staff. Stand back and watch the power of God. And he holds up the staff, you know, and as he holds the staff up, nothing happens. And he'd be like, it took a staff beat it. Is it working? It's not worth. What's wrong here? You know, I'm glad God was ready. That the waters parted and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And when the enemy of Pharaoh's army came across and tried to capture them and destroy them, that God allowed the waters to come back and to kill all the enemies. I mean, I'm glad God was ready. That was a good story. But it would have been a lot different story if God wasn't ready. Well, I missed that cue. I'm sorry. I was supposed to blow right then and, you know, let the waters part. And I was over here taking a time out. Sorry, guys. I missed that. I'm glad God was ready. I'm glad when Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. Remember that time when the children of the land had turned their back on God and they were serving many gods. God was just another god in the land. They were serving many idols. And Elijah was like, hey, listen, let's go, man. Let's take it. If you want to serve Baal, then serve Baal. But if you're going to serve God, then serve God. Let's just have this challenge. He goes, let's just see which God is really real. And so all the prophets of Baal got out there and they built their altars before the Lord. And there was like around 800-900 of these prophets out there. And they're building this altar before their God Baal. And they're out there dancing and singing and praying to their God. And man, they're just going crazy. And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And, you know, we see out there where Elijah's like, where's your God at? Is he asleep? Hey, Baal, wake up. Maybe Baal's in the restroom, you know. He was saying, your God's not ready. Where's your God at? Nothing's happening. And of course, we know when Elijah built his altar, he built it out of stone and had his altar there, and he drenched it with water, and he dug a big trench around it and filled up a whole ravine around it with water and just drenched the thing with water and water. And Elijah simply gets up there and says, God, for your glory today, may these people know that you are the true living God. And it says that the fire from heaven came down and engulfed that sacrifice, proving to the people who the true God was. Now today, I'm glad that God was ready. I'm glad that our God was ready. I'm glad that our God was not taking a break, aren't you? I'm glad our God was not thinking, oh, I was supposed to breathe fire right then, okay? That's right. I forgot that. But I'm glad today that our God is always ready. If you don't know it today, you need to know that God is always ready. God is always ready to do something in our life. Let's look what Psalms 18:30 says. It says, God's way is what? Perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. God's got a perfect way. He's always ready. And all the Lord's promises come true. Everything that he promises in the Word of God is going to come true. Either has come true, will continue to come true, or will come true. But you can count and take this to the bank that our God is ready. Our God is ready in action, man. He doesn't miss a beat. His timing is always correct. Even though we may not happen the time when we believe it should happen, it may not happen in the time that we have set forth, God is always ready, and his time is always what? Perfect. God is always ready. God is ready always to forgive, and God is ready to empower. God is ready to listen. God is ready to help. God is ready to heal. God is ready to do something great in our life. The question is, are we ready? The real question is not, is God ready? The question is, are we ready? So what Matthew 9:36 says. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, this is Jesus. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now today, I believe the same principle is present in our society. I believe today that when God looks down on society today, he sees the crowds of people. And I believe he has a heart full of compassion for them. He has a compassion for this community. He has a compassion for the people of the Forest State area. He has compassion for the people of the greater Atlanta district, man. He's got compassion for Manaus and what's going on in Brazil. When God looks down on society today, he sees with great compassion people who are confused. What's really right? What's really wrong? What's the people looking for the answers, people searching and in confusion and in perversion and things that are going through. He has great compassion in their life. He says they are helpless and confused. But isn't that today's society? Didn't that really fit us to a T even today? We got people, man, they're just helpless, confused, do not know right from wrong. They're trying to figure it out, and they're searching through many gods and many religions, trying to find the true answer. And I believe today God is looking, and he's looking at society saying, wow, I have compassion. He's moved with compassion. But the question is not, is God ready? The question is, are we ready? Look what Matthew 9:37 in the next verse says. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is what? Great. But the workers are what? Few. The harvest is great, and the workers are few. So God is moved with compassion. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so let's do a little math here. Come here, Ian, give me a hand. Ian and Tom, you guys want to come and give me a hand real fast? Carlos, give me a hand real fast. This is the equation that we have, okay? Which one of you guys want to play God? That's the question I had this morning. Carlos, we know he's the only one to play God. All right. You're on the stop step. Here's the equation. We got God up here. Now, God is ready, okay? We need someone to play the harvest field. Tom, I think you're great for that, okay? This is the person who needs to be reached. Ian, you're going to play the church. And here's the equation. It goes like this. The equation is this, that God is ready. He says the harvest is ready. What's the missing equation? He said, but the workers are not ready. They're very few. And the equation is this, that God wants to use you and I. He wants to speak through you and I. He wants to use you and I so that you and I can reach what? The harvest. The harvest is ready. God is moved with compassion. And the harvest is ready. Who's not ready? It's us. Who's the church? It's us. And see, God's math is not like our math. You ever notice that? And we take 1 + 1 and it equals what? 2. We take 1 × 1 and we get what? 1. But you take God multiplied in our life and it never equals 1. God multiplies, and he does. His numbers are greater. His ways beyond our thinking comprehension. And so God is ready to multiply in you to reach the harvest. But the missing equation is us. Thank you, guys. I mean, from the time that we are very young, we learned this story. How many remember this when you're in preschool? If you were raised in church, you'll remember this. If you haven't, please just humor us. We were demented as children, okay? And we had something happen to us. All right. How many ever did this where you put your hands together? Remember the church thing we used to do? If you remember that, I want you to do it with me. Put your hands together like this here. And we say, what? Here's the church. Here's the what? Steeple. Open the door. And here's the people. We got 8 people in our church. No wonder we got small churches all across the country, because of the time we're young, we got people giving us false doctrine that God wants to have 8 people in our church. It's going on across the land today. Someone's got to stop this story. It's a bad story. God wants more than 8 people in our church. But the principle is this, that the church is all about people, isn't it? The church is about people. It's not about the building. Yes, buildings are necessary in reaching more people. And we're going to continue to build bigger buildings and have a bigger vision, because we believe with a bigger vision we can reach what? More what? More people. That God wants to use us to reach more people. But the church is never a building. The church is never considered 4 walls. The church is the people. We're the church. We're the church. And God has said this, that we are called to do what? To be ready to reach the harvest. God's ready. The harvest is ready. But are we ready? Well, Pastor, I believe God just wants me to come to church and be comfortable and be fed. Show me in Scripture where God ever wants us to be comfortable and just be fed. That's not that Jesus said, I come to man to be radical in your life. Yes, I come to feed you and to heal you. And sometimes there's times when you need restoration in your life, and you need times of healing and rest. But that's only to prepare you to reach a harvest. That's only to prepare you that God wants to use you and me. One of the very first things we said at the beginning of our church, that we believe that God wants us to have what? We believe that 80% of the people that come to Destiny Church are going to be involved in local ministry. The national average is 20. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And we're trying to flip-flop that. Our goal is to have 80% of the people involved in serving, doing something. Why? Because God wants to use you. God wants to use you. The workers are few. God is ready. The question is, are we ready? We've got to quit making excuses up. We got excuses. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. I've got too much baggage. I don't have time, and I can't do this, and I'm not a people person. I don't like to talk to people. And I say, those are really just lame excuses, aren't they? When it comes right down to it, they're very lame excuses to be the church in Scripture that God has called us to be correct. We have got to be ready. We got to be ready. God's ready. The question is, are we ready? God's asking us that question today. Are we ready? We got to cut out the excuses and get ready. You know, aren't you glad that Noah is ready? I mean, think about that. Genesis chapter 6, we see the story of Noah. God goes to Noah. Noah is a young man of age, 500 years old, and God says, hey, Noah, I want you to build me an ark, man. I'm going to destroy the whole earth. I'm going to save you and your family, and I'm going to save, you know, 2 of the animals, and you're going to take care of them. You're going to build a big ark, and that's what's going to happen. Aren't you glad that Noah was ready? Aren't you glad Noah didn't make the excuse? God, I'm 500 years old. You can't use me. I'm 500 years old. Go to somebody else. I'm glad Noah was ready. I'm glad Noah didn't say, God, what is rain, by the way? Because at the time, it had never rained before. God didn't water the earth that way at the time. And he sent rain for the very first time. And God, well, that sounds kind of, God, you want to do that? You'd never done it before. And so, yeah, I don't know about that. Sometimes God is going to ask you, are you ready? And he's going to ask you to do things you've never done before. And he's going to do things that seem impossible in your life. He's going to ask you to take on an impossible vision. He's going to ask you to take on an impossible dream. And that's why is that? Because when it happens, people are going to look at you and say, that was not you, that was God. And God's going to get the glory. When people look at Noah and say, that was not Noah, that was God. God brought those animals 2 by 2. God placed the architect design of this ark. God caused that family to be safe. God saved them. It was God. It was God. I'm glad Noah was ready. I'm glad Noah was ready. Are you ready? So how do we get ready today? How do we stay ready, and how do we be ready for God to use us? Number one, first of all, let's just say it like this. We've got to be willing to look foolish. When you stay ready for God, you stay ready for God to use you, you got to be willing to look foolish at times. You know, it was the blind man who Jesus went to, and Jesus was going to pray for this blind man. What happened? He says that he reached down in the mud, and he He took a saliva and he spit into the mud and he made some mud balls. Now, how many know that sounds really mature, doesn't it? You know, our kids do that. We're like, get out of the mud. Don't touch that mud. Wash your hands. Quit spitting in the mud. We do that. But here's Jesus doing the same thing. He's making mud balls, and he places these mud balls in the blind man's eye and says, hey, go down here to the public pool and wash your face. I'm glad today that man was ready. Jesus was ready. But this man had to be willing to look foolish, to walk around with mud in his eyes. He had to be willing to take the step of faith. I imagine he was thinking, you know what? What am I going to look like? Are people going to stare at me looking differently? Now, think about it for a second. We think it's cool. Well, Jesus spit in the saliva. He's the Lord. It's the Lord's mud pies. Woo! We could sell them on eBay and make a lot of money. We think all these things, this is the Lord's mud pies. Well, we got to realize we know a lot more about Jesus back then than this man knew about Jesus, okay? We know he was the Lord. And we know what he was. But this man was just going by faith. This is a prophet coming to him as far as he's concerned, or a great teacher. And he's saying, hey, put this mud in your eyes and walk to the pool. And as he walks to the pool, what happens? He can imagine people look. He got so desperate he made his own eyeballs out of mud. Even though he couldn't see people, I'm sure he was thinking that thing in his mind. This is what people are thinking. He had to walk to the public pool and wash himself. And as he did that, he regained his eyesight. Jesus was ready. And that man had to be ready. I wonder how many of us that God's wanting to do a miracle in our life, and he's going to ask you to do something that seems a little foolish. It's going to seem like, if I do this, people are going to think I'm a little bit strange. My family's not going to understand it. It doesn't make sense on the outside when God asked me to commit my life this way. It doesn't always make sense. I can remember my times in my life where God asked me to do things that just didn't make a lot of sense. I remember when I was young, my dream was to play college football, and I was gonna make it no matter what. And I remember having those dreams and establishing a place and wanting to get a scholarship in football and having that dream come true where I was offered a chance to play college football. And I remember driving through town and stopping at a Bible college. And before I left town, I enrolled in Bible college. And when I went home, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to play football. I'm going to Bible college. And I remember looking at me and going, you are crazy. You've worked this hard. You're going to pay your way through Bible college and give up your full ride to play football. What are you doing? This has been your dream. Other people say, you'll never make it. You in Bible college? That's what the professor said when I walked in. They're like, you, okay. I think I was voted most likely to be kicked out the first year. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But it didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But I knew God was calling me to do something different and to step out in faith. And it didn't make sense to my family. Even my family were like, what are you doing? Now they're like, oh, praise God. It was God's will. We knew it all along. God's hand was on you. No, my mom was like, what are you doing? You know, people don't understand. Sometimes you're going to look foolish when you do things for God. I remember one time in my life that God was calling me to full-time ministry. And I had a job open up, and there was a full-time pay position in Terre Haute, Indiana. Anybody ever heard of Terre Haute, Indiana? Terre Haute, Indiana, and it was, at the time, I knew God was calling us full-time ministry, and we decided we were going to go there. It was a great salary for a first-time job as a youth pastor. My wife and I went down there, great facilities, had a great big gymnasium, big youth chapel. It was a very nice facility. We're like, yes, God, this is what you want. Talked it over with my parents, like, yeah, it's like a great position and great things, and everybody thought, but it sounded really good. And I remember going there and trying to we even put down payment on a house there, on a condo. When we came back, we were going to move and relocate. As we came back to Joplin to prepare to move, that God spoke to me and my wife in the middle of the night and said not to go. And I'd already given up my job here, my secular job here, and didn't know what I was going to do. And the Lord said, I want you to go full-time, but it's not there. I want you to go full-time here. And don't worry about the money because I'm going to take care of you. I'm like, all right, God. And so I went to my wife and like, we're going to stay here. And she's like, oh, no, God told us. But nobody else understood that. They're like, what are you going to do for money? What are you going to do for a job? You gave your job up and you're giving that up. That's a good opportunity. On the outside, it looked like a great opportunity. But I had to listen to what God was saying in my heart. And God was saying, no, I want you to stay here. There's a reason I want you to stay here. And I remember I had given up my job, and we started doing full-time ministry for volunteer. We should have volunteered as ministers, and and I don't, money came in here and there, and I got odd jobs here and there, and you know what? We survived. It was tight that first year, but we survived, and next year it got a little bit better, and the year after that got a little bit better. But it didn't make a lot of sense to people who didn't understand that. It would look kind of foolish on the outside. See, sometimes God wants to use things of foolishness in our life. I remember one time there was someone God was wanting me to call, invite to church. I coached this young man on my basketball team, and his family was a part of our part of my team, and really hadn't talked to God other than at the basketball court, but God said, I want you to call this guy, and it had been 6 weeks since the season was over. And so I go back and get my parent list, you know, and I look up his cell phone number because I had that list as a coach, and I was like, hey, this is Gene Beebe. Remember, I coached your son. Hey, I want to invite you to come to Caesar. Could you come to church with me? I mean, that was looked really foolish because I really didn't have a relationship with this guy. I really didn't have that much of this size as coaching his son a little bit. I don't think the guy at the time even knew I was a pastor. And so I was like, hey, I just want to invite you to my church. He's like, you know what? We've been really looking. I think God wants us to get in church. And yeah, we want to come there. What time does the service start? And they came to our church and they walked in like, you didn't tell me you're the pastor. You know, it looked really foolish for me to call this guy up. I didn't really know and invite him to come to our church when I really didn't have a relationship with him, but I knew God was wanting me to do that. Sometimes in our life, God wants to use the foolish things in our life. You've got to be willing to do things that don't always make sense. If you want God to use you, because God is ready, the harvest is ready, the question is, are we ready? You've got to stay looking. Sometimes you've got to be willing to look foolish. Matter of fact, Scripture even says it here, 1 Corinthians 1:27. Look what it says. God chose the things of the world, considers what? Foolish, in order to shame those who think they are what? Wise. God uses foolish things many times because he's trusting our faith. He's trusting us to see, are we testing us? Are we willing to do things when he says to do it? The second thing you got to be doing, you got to be willing to be flexible. Willing to be flexible. Now, how many know some of us haven't been flexible for a long time? You know what I'm talking about here, okay? I'm not talking about flexible when it comes to reaching over and touching your toes, you know, and doing those jumps. And you know, I used to be, believe it or not, I used to be quite a good break dancer back in the day. You know, hard to believe. And of course, if you know much about fads today, the 80s is coming back in style really big right now. All these 80s things are happening. And I was telling my boys, you know, hey, your dad could do that. I used to be able to be a pretty good break dancer. No, you couldn't. You can't even touch your toes. How are you going to reach over and spin on your head and, you know, and do all this stuff, you know, and do all that stuff we used to be able to do, all that stuff back. You remember the day, okay? Spin around on the cardboard. Used to carry my cardboard and box. You know, we were always having fun. Anyway. Some of you would pay to see me do that right now, wouldn't you? I know what you're thinking. Come on, Pastor Gene. Illustration right now. I don't want to show off, okay? So. But anyways, so I just told my boys, I was like, you know, where am I going with this story anyway? I got to remember, we're talking flexible. I told my boys, call your Aunt Shelly and ask her if your dad could do that. Aunt Shelly could, my dad actually, yeah, your dad was really good. He could spin around on his shoulders and head and do all this other stuff. They're like, whoa, Dad. It's kind of the same thing that happened when they asked me if I had, I told them I had a six-pack in high school, and they didn't believe me. They called Aunt Shelly. Did my dad have a six-pack? That's abs, in case you're wondering, okay? What's abs? The dad could actually see his abs back then, you know. And I'm not talking about being that kind of flexible, okay? I'm not talking about being flexible in your body. I'm talking about being flexible in your spirit. Being willing to adjust, being willing to change, being willing to live your life according to what God's asking you to do. If you're not flexible, God can't use you. God's ready. The harvest is ready, but are we ready? And to be ready, we got to be flexible. Because God's going to ask you to alter your schedule. God's going to ask you to alter your giving. God's going to ask you to alter your time. God's going to ask you to alter what you do. When he wants to use you at times, you got to be willing to be flexible. I remember one time God spoke to me in a store. I was in line, and God said, I want you to pay for the people's behind you grocery. There was a single mom there. She had a cart full of groceries, and God said, I want you to pay for this woman's groceries. I'm like, God, I just don't know if I can do that. You know, if I pay for her groceries, she might think I'm coming on to her or something like that. You know, she'll never know what she's going to read into it. You know, and I feel strange doing that. And so I remember as I just finished up, I told the guy in front of me, I want to pay for her groceries, but I don't want her to know I'm doing it until I'm out of the store. And so as you begin to scan the first item, as she's loading her cart, he scanned the first item. Then at a point, I could run my debit card through and push ahead of time. She didn't even know I was doing it and pay for it. So by the time he got done, I already had my information. I was out the store. And I remember doing that, and you know, and there's times in my life, you got to be flexible. You got to be flexible. You never know what God's going to ask you when it comes to reaching the harvest. You never know what God's going to ask you to do. If God's going to ask you to alter what you do, maybe God wants you to learn to give more. Well, you can't give more if you don't have a budget. And you can't get yourself out of debt. That's why we had Dave Ramsey, because it's important for us to have a budget and not to be controlled by our finances. But maybe God's speaking to you. Hey, I want you to give more to this mission trip. I want you to give more to this church plant. I want you to give more to this vision, what's happening here. If that be the case, I got to be flexible, because God may want to use me. God may say, hey, I want you to turn around and go back to that person you passed, and I want you to go back and you're going to tell them that God loves them and ask them if you can do anything for them. Well, I got a deadline to keep, God. I got to get to my meeting, or I got to get home and get dinner started. Or God, I got this happening. I got to be flexible. If my schedule is not flexible, if my spirit is not flexible, God cannot use me. I'm not ready. I become a part of the crowd that says, I'm not ready. God, you're ready. The harvest is ready. I've got to be willing not only to be foolish, but be flexible. Whatever God asks me to do, I got to be able to adjust my time, adjust my schedule to do what he asked me to do. And the last thing, I must be willing to be faithful. Willing to be faithful. I think Joseph was such a great example of this. He was so willing to be faithful. He was faithful to his father, and his brothers got jealous, and they threw him in the pit and sold him off to slavery. As he was sold off to slavery, we know that he was faithful even as a slave. And as a slave, he became an honorable person there, working his way up as head of the slaves. And we know Potiphar's wife lied about him and tried to seduce him, and he ran away, and he got falsely accused of advances toward her, so he was put in prison. As he was put in prison, he stayed faithful to God. In the pit, he was faithful to God. As a slave, he was faithful to God. In the prison, he was faithful to God. And we see in his life where he was exalted to the number two spot in the whole land of Egypt, just next to the king in power, that he helped feed a nation. He helped take care of his whole family who had once sold him off. They were bowing to him, and he was head over them, and he helped save their life. He was exalted. He was exalted to a high place after going through slavery, after being falsely accused and in prison, after being sold away in the pit by his family. Because he stayed what? Faithful. Because he stayed faithful, God used him and exalted him to a place that brought glory to him. God is wanting to use you and I, but we must be faithful. Because of his faithfulness, God exalted him. You want God to use you. You say, yes, God, that's me. I'm hearing the equation saying, God, you're here and I'm here. God, use me to reach the harvest. Then I must be what? Faithful. I must be faithful. On my good days, I must be what? Faithful. On my bad days, I must be what? Faithful. On the days I really don't care, I still must be faithful. I've got to have that faithfulness in me. It says, God, no matter what I walk through in my life, I'm going to be faithful. Scripture is very clear about us being faithful and how God blesses that. We see that God is wanting us to be faithful. Luke 16:10 says it like this. If you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. God is testing you. How are you going to handle when you're a slave? You ever feel like you're a slave? Some of you say, right now, my job feels like I'm a slave right now. I feel like a slave to my boss. Well, are you going to serve that job and say, God, I'm going to bring you glory in this job. I'm going to be the best employee that employer has. I'm going to show up earlier than anybody else. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to represent you well on this job. I guarantee you, if you do that first, put God first, I'm going to serve him through your job like that, your employer is going to change. Either you're going to get a promotion or somebody else is going to want you to work for them and give you a raise. Because God blesses faithfulness. God blesses hard work like that when you're faithful to him in the small things. God bless it. Well, Pastor, I would love to do so much more. I am ready. Some of you here today, you're saying, I'm ready to do so much more, but I just don't have anything to give. But I tell you what, if God gave me a better job, boy, I'd give more to God. Can I tell you that's a false statement? Well, how do you know it's a false statement? Because you can't say, well, Pastor, if God blessed me with $3,000 a week, then I'd give $300 a week to the church. Well, how about you give the $30 a week now that you're making? Of the $300. If I can pay tithes on $300 and pay $30 a week, then God can entrust me with more. But I can't say, well, I'll pay tithes when I get to a certain amount and then I'll do it. No, I got to do it now. I can't say, God, you know what, Pastor, if I had this more time off, I'd give you more time. Man, I would work for the church and I'd volunteer and I'd serve and I'd give more time now. No, you wouldn't. You won't even give one Sunday a month now that they've asked you to do. You can't even say, I'll come for early and help with the kids, or I can't come and do this. Or there's areas to serve now that doesn't require a lot, but you're not even giving the hour a month now, maybe an extra you could be doing. So how much do you think you're going to give 10 hours extra when you have, because you have a better job? It's not going to happen. The principle does not happen. The principle is this, that as I'm faithful over what God has given me now, then God blesses me with more. So I say, God, if I'm ready now, then what I have is yours. It may not be a lot, but God, I'm going to make it the best and give it to you. I'm going to walk this offering down here with pride, knowing, God, that you are in control of my life, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to serve. I don't have a lot of days off, but when I do, I'm going to give to you, God. I'm going to get involved in the ministry. I'm going to serve with our children and our youth and ushers and greeting and just get involved in areas, small groups. I'm going to find an area. I can only maybe attend one small group every 4 or 5 times, but when I have a chance, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be faithful, believing God that someday I can attend more often. Someday I can give more. Someday I can serve more. But that happens when I'm faithful for what God gives me now. See the principle there? See the principle? We can't say when that happens, I will. No, it happens right now because I am faithful over the small. That's why in this building, it was a leased facility. And there's only so much we want to do in this building because it's a leased facility. We don't want to put too much into this facility because someday we're going to build our own facility. It's going to be larger. We're going to do some different things. It's going to be a lot different. But you know what? It doesn't stop us from saying, you know what? We're going to do the best we can do right now. We're going to make the best of what we have to work with right now. We can do things the best we have now because we know one day that God's going to bless us with more, and we're going to prove to God that we can handle that, that we're going to be good stewards over that, and we can do that. We got to be faithful now. God's ready. I'm ready. I got to be willing to look foolish sometimes and do things that aren't always comfortable to me. I got to be willing to be flexible and change my schedule. And then I got to be faithful. God, I'm going to bless you. God, I'm going to give you right now what I have. It may not be a lot in my eyes. It may not seem like a lot, but God, I'm going to give you the best I can do right now. And I'm going to do it faithfully because I know that you got something better in store for me and my family. I know the best is still yet to come. I believe, God, there's a greater vision for my family. There's a greater vision for my life. There's a greater harvest you have for me to reach. And God, I doesn't have a lot, but God, when you pour what I naturally have, which is not a lot, when you pour your super into my natural, it becomes supernatural into the harvest. And God, you do great things in my life. And God, you will bring a multitude back with the harvest. That's what God wants to do in our life. God is ready. The question is, are we? Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head bowed, I just want to ask you this question. Today, you say, Pastor, I've been hearing you speak about God is ready and are we? And before I can even think about being used to God, first of all, I just got to say that I want to be ready just to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I never like to close out a service without giving you that chance today. We don't know who's here today. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been so far away from God in my life, and today I want to make things right. I feel a different spirit. There's something going on inside my heart today. I can't explain it, but I know this one thing, that God's drawing me close to Him, and I want more of God. Today I want to ask Him into my life, and I want to ask Him to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to make sure heaven's my home. I want to ask Him to forgive me my sins, and I want to walk into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and I would not embarrass you in any way, but I just want to ask, if you're here today and you say, ask me, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand high where you're at? No one's looking but me. I want to make sure you have that opportunity today. Anyone here today, say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand high? Let me see that. That's you. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, that's me. I want to join this person today. Anybody else, say, that's me. I want to join them, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We had those who raised their hands today, so I'm going to ask you, if we all could, just repeat this prayer. Can we say it? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give to you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Give that person a hand clap, yeah? If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave today, we have a special special things we want to give you, a special gift back here, a free Bible, some other material tells you what to do next. Right there in the very back, we have a person there waiting to give that to you. So when you leave today, go back there and make sure you get one of those as our free gift to you. I'm going to invite you to stand where you're at today, and I'm going to ask you this question with you standing. How many today say, Pastor, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. God's ready. The harvest is ready. But how many today, this way, we're all looking around, being accountable. Don't raise your hand unless you mean it, but I'm going to ask you, how many today say, Pastor, I'm ready for God to use me. I'm ready for God to use me. Wow. I want to be that person. Do you want to be that person? It says, God, I don't want to be the missing equation. I mean, God's got a formula here, and he's ready to bring forth a result. And who's in the way? It's me. I've got to be ready. God's wanting to work through you. God's wanting to work through me. And it says right here, when we start saying, God, I am ready. Today, if you're comfortable doing this, I want to invite you. Can you just lift your hands and sign to God, saying, God, I give you everything I am. It's a sign of surrender to God. God, I lift my hands to you today. God, I pray for every person who raised their hands today, who said they are ready to be used of you. God, I pray right now through your Holy Spirit that, God, you would empower us, God, to be your witness. Through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, may we be empowered, God, to make change. May we be faithful people, willing to be foolish, willing to be flexible. But, God, may we be faithful to use what you've given us right now to multiply in our life. God, we're going to give this ministry everything we have, Lord, because we know that, God, knowing that when we give you everything we have, that you multiply it, even though it's not a lot many times in our own eyes. God, what you can do with a little is multiplied in the multitudes. And, God, today I believe a harvest is coming from our lives because we're getting right in the equation. We're saying, Lord, prepare us, Lord, to be ready. May we not be workers of few, but may we be workers of many. May Destiny Church be workers of many, many who are ready, many who are able, many who are faithful, many who are willing, many who are willing to do whatever it takes to reach the harvest. And God, we say, yes, Holy Spirit, use us, change our heart, empower us by the grace of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Shake a hand before you leave. You guys have a great week.